Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Kuf Vav. Thank the Lubman Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zechon Nishmas Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. Started the 13th final parak of the Masechta. We are discussing a couple controversial statements that were made by Chanan and seven controversial statements that were made by Admon. So the Mishnah is taking us now on a course. The Mishnah, so the 13th parak, take us on a course of things that are connected with Ksuvos and things that are maybe going slightly off the board. But either way, the first issue that we discussed in the 13th parak is something that we touched on earlier in the Masechta. A husband goes away on a business trip, and he's married, and he leaves his wife behind, and she wants mezonos, and he didn't take care of that before he left. So she, obviously, it's a financial obligation that he's obligated to her. So Beis Din can go in and seize his property and sell off some of the property in order to pay for her mezonos. That's good. That's something that we've seen time and again. The issue that we've been addressing in the Mishnah was, do you have to make a shvua, do you not have to make a shvua? Yes, you have to make a shvua, and then the only issue became, when does she make a shvua? Does she make a shvua when she starts collecting the mezonos, or does she make a shvua only at the end? Rashi explained the end meant that after the husband later on dies and she wants to collect her ksuva, she has to now go ahead and explain that all the money that she's been taking up until now has been strictly and simply for the mezonos, and not and nothing can be applied towards the ksuba. Good. The Gemara then took us on a course discussing the topic of Shochad. So we are right now in the middle. The entire daf yesterday, Kufhei, we didn't finish it, we're going to finish it now. The entire daf is dedicated to the topic of Shochad, of taking bribes. And so we're going to continue where we left off yesterday. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Abba. Okay. Okay, one of the reasons why we got onto this topic of Shochad is because we talked about how to fund the judges. Meaning there were judges in Yerushalayim, as we pointed out yesterday, many, many different courts in Yerushalayim, total of 394 courts that were in Yerushalayim. And so how did they all get funded? So they got funded from public money. And then it got onto the Gemara to discuss how in general do courts get funded. Meaning in the event that you don't have public money and the judge needs to get paid in order to judge, so how does he get paid? Any payment that he receives can be construed as a shochad, as bribery. So how does he get paid? So the Gemara yesterday went on to discuss that what you're doing is you're giving him money for the loss of work, meaning he's got another job, and the Gemara said yesterday it's evident that he has other work, and so therefore what you're really doing is you're taking him away from his job, so that's opportunity lost, so therefore you pay him for that. But you're not going to pay him for the actual judging you don't pay for. We explained yesterday, because judging somebody is a mitzvah, and generally speaking you shouldn't get paid for doing mitzvahs. Amar Rabbi Abba Barei Kama Samuyos Enem Shom Mekabel Shochad. So Rabbi Abba says, take a look at how much blindness is created from accepting Shochad. So he gives an analogy. Let's say a person's feeling a pain in his eye. So what does he do? He goes to a doctor. Suffik misrapi, suffik misrapi. Is it going to work? Maybe, maybe not. I'm sorry. So you're ready to pay a doctor to help you with your eye ailment, and maybe or maybe it won't be effective. And meanwhile, they take a shavapruta and they blind you. They themselves are blind. Shochad, what does it do? It blinds the people who are, generally speaking, very smart. So just the idea that that for sure, giving them money is going to blind the judges. Tana Rabbanan ki Shochad yaver in einecha chachamim, kavacham l'tipshin. So the pasuk says that Shochad is going to blind people who are chachamim. So that's the judge who's a chacham. Imagine the judge not such a chacham. So for sure, money's going to corrupt him. V'salav divrei tzadikim kavacham l'rishayim. And people who are generally righteous people, but you give them a little bit of money and they're gonna favor you. So imagine if the judge starts off from being a rasha. So for him, he'll be an easy judge to buy. So midi tipshin v'rishayim b'nei dinan. And the Gemara says it's a funny drasha, meaning the drasha says, imagine the judge is dumb. Or imagine if the judges are Russia. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Judges being dumb, judges being Rishayim? Like, well, what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously we have to be speaking in relative terms. When we say that it corrupts even the smartest, it means even if he's Chacham Gadol, a big Chacham, nevertheless, by the time he dies, he's going to be blind. In other words, that that acceptance of money is going to be causation of his blindness. V'salv divrei tzadikim afilu tzadikamor. And even we're describing someone who's a tzadikamor, v'lo keach shochad. Now, it's funny. It's hard to just understand this. Meaning, he's a tzadikamor, but he accepts shochad. It's hard to
describe.
Yeah, it's hard to describe the person as a tzadikamor. Okay, so the okay. Anyway, Gemara is just but I understand the basic point of the Gemara. So, but if you take shochad, you're gonna end up dying with some form of dementia. Ki also Rav Dimi Amar Darish Rav Nachman Bar Cohen. My dechsev melch b'mishma yamid eret v'ish trumos yarsena. A judge, a king of judgment, will support the world, but meanwhile, someone who receives some sort of payout, so he's going to destroy the world. So if the king is financially independent, so that's great, so he's going to support the world. Meaning someone, a judge who's financially independent, so good, so he's not going to be able to be bought because, Baruch Hashem, he's got money. However, if the judge behaves like a Kohen, now we don't usually speak in this disparaging way about a Kohen, but and we're not speaking disparagingly about a Kohen. But what's the behavior of a Kohen? The behavior of a Kohen is that the Kohen is there serving his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he gets handouts. That's the Torah tells us. That's what the Torah is expecting of a Kohen. He's sitting there with his hands out, and he gets a handout. If the judge behaves in that manner, so then Yahar Sena, then the judge himself is going to destroy the world. Amar Rabba Bar Shila Haidina Deshal Shalta Pasul Amedan Dina. So let's say you have a judge who borrows something. So he borrows something, so no, he no longer can judge for that person. In other words, so if he borrowed something from a potential litigant, and then that potential litigant turns into an actual litigant, so that's going to be a problem, because he's now going to be favored in that, in his direction. But the Gemara says, but that's only if it's one directional borrowing. However, if it's two directional, meaning he borrows and he lends, so then that's considered a healthy relationship, and the Gemara says, Leslan Ba. That's no problem. The Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Marion, Afagav de lo Shalamine. So the Gemara says, meanwhile, we know that Rava borrowed something and he served as a judge. The Gemara says, no. He borrowed something just to give him chashivas, meaning that sometimes you make a person feel better, so make him feel like he's, somebody, you'll take something from him, not because you need it, not because you really want to borrow it, but just simply makes him feel like, oh, good, I gave, not only did I gave to him. Right, he's a special person, so it makes him feel better. So, Amar Rava, my time in the Shochta. So, what's the reason behind Shochad? What's the Gemara's question? My time in the Shochta. Take a look at Rashi. Lama asar litlo lezakos as a zakai. Meaning, the way Rashi understands the Gemara's question is as follows. Look, you know what the case is. You understand the merits of both of the litigants, and you know who's right. Okay, and you're going to go in his direction. So you take a little bit of money as well. Meaning, what's behind Shochad? What's the problem behind Shochad if ultimately the judgment is the correct judgment? So the Gemara says, Kevin de Kabole, Shochta Mine, Ikrele Daite, Legabe, Vahave Kagufe. So the Gemara says as follows, because when you take Shochad from him, what happens is that you now are close to him. In fact, you're so close to him, you become united with him. You're one with him. And now you and him are now inseparable. And generally speaking, we're excellent at seeing the faults of others. We're not so excellent at seeing our own faults. So the Gemara says it much stronger. The Gemara says, "Eino demro chov alatzmo," where it's almost impossible for us to see our own fault. So once somebody gives us money, and now him and I become united, so now, just like I can't see the fault of myself, I can't see his fault as well. Or to put it in very simple terms, I no longer am objective. I'm totally subjective about the person who gave me money, so I'm going to argue, yeah, I judged the case correctly. Well, if you were the litigant and you were the judge, would you judge against yourself? No. So, neither would you judge against the person who bribed you. So, my shochad, and the fact that Gemara gives a great way to understand the word shochad, shehu chad. You become united, meaning you and him become one. And so, when he gives you money, so now you are basically with him, you are him, and there's no way you're going to incriminate him. Let's say a person has a very close relationship with somebody else. So you shouldn't judge. Meaning based on the idea that we just provided. So if it's money and you become united, so you can't judge for him. Let's say it's somebody who you have a very close relationship with and you shouldn't be his judge. So let's say you have, unfortunately, a very distant and difficult relationship with a particular person. So you shouldn't judge this case as well, because you already have a bias. So, the person who you love, you're going to find no fault with the person you love. The person that you hate, you're not going to find anything right with the person you hate. So the Gemara says, so just like accepting money becomes a problem in terms of judging a case, so too does having a strong relationship, either positive or negative, with somebody, you can't judge the case. So let's say you have these young Talmid Chachamim who everyone in town loves them. So Lamishum de Malitve. So Abaye takes a slightly more, I'd say, cynical view of it. And it's not because these Talmid Chachamim are special. You know, the Talmid Chacham living in town, and you see everyone going over to him, everyone loves him, it's because he's not giving enough mussar. He's not telling them, you know, you need to correct this, you need to correct that. So in other words, part of the job of the local Talmid Chacham, the local Rav, is to give mussar. So if everyone's a fan of his, it means he's not giving enough mussar. Meaning he's not running for office. He should be helping everybody improve. So Rava says that originally when I was living in the town of Mechuzah, everyone loved me. However, then I became a judge. And now what happened after I become as a judge? So, you know, some people love me, but then of course some people hate me. Because whenever you're a judge, so, and there's the litigation, so one person's going to walk out happy and one person's going to walk out sad. And they're not going to blame themselves, obviously. That's too easy. So they're... I should say the other way. That's too difficult. They're going to blame me. That'll be much easier. So, but then they realized, says Rava, that I was very fair. Meaning that I was impartial. Sometimes he went in, this one person went in for judgment. I ruled in his favor, but another time he came in and I ruled against him. And then over the course of time, people realized I'm impartial. Meaning I'm not, this has nothing to do with my personal feelings about that person. It has to do with my impartiality and me being a judge. And so eventually he said, things kind of balanced out. Tanu Rabbanan v'shokach lo sikach enesorach lamar shokhan mamon. Ela afilu shokha dvarim nami aser. So the Gemara says that when we talk about shochad is prohibited when it goes with, if it's for money, it goes without saying. The collection of money in order to be a judge is for sure illicit. It's a violation of shochad. But even shochad dvarim, even words, the words by themselves is also considered a form of shochad. Medaloksiv betza lo tikach, because it doesn't say betza lo tikach. Betza is an interesting word. Generally speaking, is described as money. Okay, by the brothers in Yosef, right? When they were out by the boar, so the Torah over there says ma betza, right? What gain do we have? And insert the word financial. What financial gain do we have if we just kill him? Right, that's simple pshat in the psukim over there by Mechiras Yosef. So the word betza, generally speaking, means financial, means money. So the Torah doesn't say betza lo sikach, so it says shochad. So shochad means bribery, and it's not just limited to money. It includes money, but it's not limited to money. So hechadam is shochad dvarim. So the Gemara says, what is an example of shochad dvarim? So funny you should ask. The Gemara is going to give a host of examples. Ki adishmo hava aved. So Shmuel was crossing the river. So there was always like this ferry that went from one side to the other. So a person comes over and says to Shmuel, here, let me give you a hand. In other words, help him getting on the ferry, getting off the ferry. Amalei Maya Vidatech. So now Shmuel says to him, anything, can I help you? Is there anything you want? Amalei Dina Islay. So he says, yeah, it's funny you should ask. I have a case. I need judgment. So Amalei Psinu Lachli Dina. So Shmuel says, no, I can't help you. In other words, you extended your hand, you helped me. You showed me some sort of favor. You didn't give me money, but still, that's I'm no longer I can serve as an impartial judge. Example number two. Amemar v'yasavikad dan dina. So Amemar was sitting and he was judging. Parach gadfa reshe, and a feather fell on his head. Also gavra shakle, and a person comes over and takes the feather and knocks it off his head. Not knocks it, but you know, removes it from his head. Amalei ma'ay v'datechem once again. So Amemar says to him, how can I help you? Amalei din isli. So he says, well, it's funny you should ask. I have a case. I need a judge. So Amalei psil na lach ledina. And Amemar says, okay, but I'm no good. In other words, you took the feather off my head. You gave me, you showed me a small courtesy, small consideration. For that, no, I'm no longer perfectly unbiased. Marukva avishadi ruka kame. Marukva had some spittle right in front of him. Aseogavra kasye, and a person comes over and covers it so that Marukva won't be disgusted by the spit. Amalei mai vidatech, and once again Marukva turns to him and says, "How can I help you?" Amalei dinitzli. So he says, "Yeah, I need a judge." Amalei psunalach ledina. So Amemar says, "Sorry, this third story is Marukva." Marukva says, "I can't help you. I'm really sorry. I'm no longer partial. I'm no longer impartial." Number four, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi aver ragel arisei dahava maisilei kol malei shabasa kanta de peire. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi had a sharecropper, meaning he owned a piece of land, and there was a sharecropper that worked for him. And every Erev Shabbos, he would come in with a basket of fruit as basically a token of appreciation. Thank you very much for letting me work on your field. And now sharecropper, by the way, gets profit, meaning he does get remunerated for working on the field, but He figured, you know what, it's nice. I'll come over and I'll shower him with gifts every Erev Shabbos. So, Yumachad Aisilei Beheba Shabbos. Now, one day, the sharecropper comes over and he brings it on a Thursday. In other words, usually he brings the Shabbos basket on Erev Shabbos, he brings it on Friday, and one week he brought it on Thursday. Amalei Maishna Yidna. So, Rabbi Shmuel says to the sharecropper, what? Well, how come he came a day early this week? So Amalei Dina Isli, V'Amina Agavarche, Aisilei Lamar. So he says, well, it's funny you should ask. I have a case, and I need a judge, and you're an excellent judge, and so I figure you'll judge my case. Right? So I'm coming on Thursday instead of Friday, and I'm bringing the basket on Thursday instead of Friday. So Lo Kabamine. So he didn't accept the basket, and Amalei Psuna Lach Ledina. And on top of that, he says, I can't judge you. In other words, because you show me a favor, show me consideration, so that's it. I lost my impartiality.
But in this case, even if there's no basket, just by the mere fact that he's got a sharecropper relationship with this guy, shouldn't he ever recuse himself?
Yeah.
It sounds like
from the Gemara, I'm not making a conclusion, but I'll make an observation. It sounds like from the Gemara that just the employer-employee relationship by itself,
he gets enough is a sharecropper.
I understand that, but he's working. In other words, he's working for those wages. That's an earn. That's not
everybody has to respect and love the talent, and so. Being in a community, they would get respect from everybody.
Correct, but in other words,
they cannot judge anybody.
It's very hard. You know, it's very hard. But in other words, anytime you get a special consideration, so that's it. Okay, but in other words, okay, I hear you, but okay, this is the kind of way that a judge has to conduct himself. Osif zuzet de rabbanan v'kaidan le'bahad de ka'azom. V'asi amr ibai tain hachi v'ibai hachi tain. So now, did I skip a little bit? No. I'm sorry. So So this person who was refused by Rabbi Shmuel, so he goes to another judge to judge his case, and so he gives his zuz to the rabbis in order to judge. And meanwhile, while the case was going on, Amar. So this is Rabbi Shmuel talking now. Ibai tain hachi, ibai hachi tain hachi. So Rabbi Shmuel's like sitting there in the background, like watching the case go on, and he says, "You know, I could have argued this way, and I could have argued that way on behalf of my sharecropper." So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is watching himself. Like, make arguments on behalf of the sharecropper. Amr tipech nashem shemakab l'shochad. And then Rabbi Shmuel has this moment of awareness, of understanding. Like, my goodness. Like, I could have been the judge, and meanwhile, I hear myself arguing on his behalf all because he gave me money. He gave me a basket. Omani shalana talti. And he says, and look at me, right? I didn't even take the basket. I refused the basket. Vin matalti shalina talti. And even if I took it, really, it's mine. In other words, right, it's my property, it's my field. So kach mekab l'shochel, alachas kama v'kama. So Rabbi Shimon just simply has this moment of awareness that, my goodness, if a person takes a shochel, he takes a bribe, it will become ridiculously impossible for that person to have a unbiased look at a case and not become more inclined towards the litigant that showed him the favor. Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha Aisei Le'ahu Gavra Reishas Agez. Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha had a person come over and give him the first shearings. We know the halacha is that when you shear your sheep, so the first shearings has to go to a kohen. This is called Reishas Agez. We'll see more about this at the end of Masechta Chulin. Amrle Mehechat, so he says, where are you from? Amrle Miduch Plan. He says, I'm from such and such a place. Omehasam Lahacha Lohava Kohen Lamesele. And so Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha says to this man, you know, there are a lot of kohen between there and here. And like you couldn't find any other kohen. Amrle Dine Sleva Amina Agavorche Aisele Lamar. So he says, oh, I have a judgment. I need a judge, and I have a case. And look, I killed two birds with one stone, meaning I have a mitzvah of Rishus Agez. So I'm giving you the first shearings. And on top of that, I also figured you'd be an excellent person to judge my case. Amrle Pson Lach Ledina. So again, Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha says, I can't judge your case. You just gave me Rishus Agez. Lo Kabba Minin. On top of that, he didn't accept it as well. Osev Le Zugad Rabbanan Vikadina Le. So what he did is he set up a pair of rabbis in order to judge the case. Now the word pair over here is a little unusual because we know that generally speaking when you have a beis din, so you need a beis din of three. So over here it says a pair of rabbis, so maybe he participated as well, although that's hard to imagine. He really recused himself from the whole proceeding. So, or maybe pair over here is not to be taken super literally. Okay, although Rashi does say Zuga Zug. So okay. Anyway, so Behadid Kazav Asi Amri by Tainhachi, and this story very similar to the previous story. You know, as Rabbi Shmuel is watching the proceeding, he said, you know, I could argue this one way on his behalf, I could argue this way on his behalf. Amr Tipech Nasham Shamakab L'Shochan. And once again, that self awareness led him to the conclusion, you know, someone who takes a bribe, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Tipech Nafsham, their soul should explode. So Umani Shalana Talti Vin Matalti Shalina Talti. Look, I didn't even take the rishus, I guess, and even if I took it, I'm entitled to it. And meanwhile, kach mekabel shochel alachas kama v'kama. Someone who takes a favor, consideration from somebody to judge a case, he for sure is going to be partial towards the one who gave him the gift. Ravana naisilayu gavra kanta de Gildani, de Begili. So Rav Anan had a person bring to him a basket of small fish. So he says to the guy who was, how can I help you? So he says, I have a case. Lo kabel mine. So he didn't accept the fish. And he says on top of that, now I no longer can serve as a judge. The mere fact that you offered me the basket of fish already makes me now more partial to you, and I can no longer serve as a judge. So the guy says to Rav Anan, look, you don't want to judge my case, that's fine. But at least accept my basket of fish. He says, don't prevent me from bringing bikurim. Now, the usage of the word bikurim over here is a little bit strange because this is not bikurim. Bikurim, first of all, only comes from fruit. On top of that, bikurim is not from all fruit. It's only from the shivas aminim. On top of that, you bring it to Yerushalayim. And you put it on top of the mizbeach. So the usage of the word bikurim over here is not to be taken literally. Bikurim over here just simply means a favor, a consideration to someone who is a Talmud Chacham. And Rashi points out over here, on top of all that, Elisha wasn't a Kohen. So for sure the word Bikurim over here is not meant to be taken literally. Did Tanya Vish Bami Baal Shalisha V'Yaveli Ish Ha'elokim Lechem Bikurim Esrim Lechem Sorim V'Karmel B'Tziklono. The Pasuk of Malachim describes the person going over to Elisha and bringing him a basket. Now it's called Bikurim, but it's not Bikurim. So Rashi points out that Elisha himself wasn't a Kohen, and Elisha, and they were not, and Tosfos points out they were not 9 Yerushalayim. V'chi Elisha ocha bikurim hava. Elisha's not eating bikurim. Elalom alacha kolam. Maybe daron l'tamachacham. You bring a gift to tamachacham ki ilu makir bikurim. It's tantamount. It's like you're bringing bikurim. So again, so this guy goes over to Rav Hanan and says, look, you don't want to judge my case. Of course I accept that. But I just accept my basket of fish. So Amrle Kabula Lobiina de Iqbal. Hashad Amrali Taima Mikabina. So he says, look, originally I didn't want to take your basket, but now, okay. You gave me a good explanation in terms of why I should take your basket. So he accepted the basket of fish. Shadra the Kama de Rav Nachman. This story goes on. And so Rav Hanan, who disqualified himself from judging because this guy showed him a favor, showed him a consideration, and even at first when he refused the basket of fish, he still wasn't going to ready to judge the case. But okay, so Rav Hanan wasn't going to judge the case, so Rav Hanan sends him to Rav Nachman. Shalach le, nidane mar lahai gavra. So in the letter he explains to Rav Nachman, you're going to be the judge and you're going to judge him. Da'ana anan pesona le ladina. And he says, because me, Anan, I'm disqualified. I can't judge him. Now, in the letter, he didn't explain why he can't judge him. And this now caused a confusion and a miscommunication. Amar, mi deshalach lehachi. So Rav Nachman now guesses the following, and he's going to guess wrong. Mi deshalach lehachi shama mina krevahu. Oh, you know why Rav Hanan can't judge him? It must be that he's a relative of Rav Hanan. That's why he can't judge him. Havakaim dina diasme kame. Now, on today's docket, there was a case where you had orphans. And so the orphans were there sitting in the antechamber of the courtroom, getting ready to be called in so that Rav Nachman can rule, in other words, just to have a case with them. So, basically, if you want to picture the scene, so here comes this new case. And in terms of in line, waiting in line, they were behind the Yisomim, and now Rav Nachman, based on his guesswork, arrives at the following conclusion. Amar, he says to himself the following on the top of Kufa Vamanala. Hayaseh v'hayaseh. Judging a case for Yisomim is a mitzvah essay. It's a positive commandment. Rashi says, v'shafatatem tzedek. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim that you have to judge honest judging. And so I'm about to judge a case of Yisomim. On the other hand, I'll say to cover the Torah. I'm sorry. There's another mitzvah essay. What's the other mitzvah essay? Taking care of a Talmid Chacham. Now, it's interesting because this person coming, this person that was sent by Rav Hanan, he himself per se is not a Talmid Chacham. He's a relative of a Talmid Chacham. Meaning, it's really Rav Hanan that Rav Nachman wanted to show this kind of respect towards. But it's. It's not even Rav Hanan himself, it's a relative of Rav Hanan. But based on his guesswork, that this guy was a relative of Rav Hanan, so he's now arriving at the conclusion, it's an interesting one, that honoring this person is like honoring Rav Hanan, based on the fact that they're related. And now, weighing these two options of, should I handle the Yisomim, they were first in line, or should I handle this person who is related to a Talmid Chacham, Aseh D'Kvod Torah Adif. The mitzvah essay of Kavod HaTorah is a greater mitzvah. Salke Ladina Diasme, so he left the Yisomim. Now, it's not perfectly clear in the Gemara whether the case of the Yisomim actually started. And it would be very hard to imagine that if they're in the middle of a case, he's going to stop the proceedings in the middle of the case in order to deal with the other one. That's very hard to imagine. More likely, and the Rashi doesn't weigh in on this issue, but this is debate amongst the Rishonim, more likely, it just simply means that they were next in line. And so what Rav Nachman did is he just simply put the relative of Rav Hanan in front of the Yisomim. That's probably a better way of describing what happened. So, came to Chazeh Baldina, Yikara de Ka'avile, I'm sorry, the Achladina, came to Chazeh Baldina, Yikara de Ha'avile, Istati Tanase. And then the Gemara points out, and then there was collateral damage. Because now Rav Nachman basically moved this guy up in the line. So now, think about it. He's obviously coming to court because of litigation. So, whenever there's litigation, that means that there's two people involved. And the other person involved now is arguing with this quote-unquote relative of Hanan. It wasn't the relative of Hanan, but that's what Rav Nachman thought. But now just imagine, Rav Nachman, in other words, you could just picture the scene. You're in the courtroom, Rav Nachman comes out, who's next? The Yisomim? Oh, wait, so hold on one second. That guy over there, relative of Rav Hanan, no, you come. And bring your litigant as well. Bring the other litigant as well. Now, the other litigant is like, oh my God, Rav Nachman already is showing that he favors this other guy over me. In other words, he had this guy jump over Yisomim in line, cut the Yisomim in line. So now the other litigant is going to now go into court, and now not only is he arguing against the relative of Rav Hanan, it sounds like he's arguing against Rav Nachman as well, and istatem tanase. And as his confidence was totally shot, and every time he opened his mouth, he just didn't have any confidence, and he couldn't say anything because he felt like, what's the point of even arguing when Rav Nachman is not even going to hear me?
This okay. positive commandment is brought about by Shulchan, though. So it's a mitzvah above.
No, it's not. No, there's no Shulchan over here. But in other words, Rav Hanan got a consideration, but Rav Nachman didn't get any consideration. Right. This is not, meaning there's two things. One is how you're supposed to treat a judge and a consideration toward a judge. Here, the judge is showing a Kavanah Torah by allowing him to come in first.
Even if there was no case of this guy being misunderstood as a relative, anytime a Talmid Chacham goes, he's going to get priority. So the judge is always going to be impartial.
Right. In other words,
impartial.
Correct. In other words, can't you envision this to be a general issue? Any right? Agreed. Rav Anan, I okay. Point well taken. Leave it off as a good point because it is. Rav Anan avaragal aliyahu dasi gabe. Now, Rav Anan did a number of things which were, you know, seemingly, but they were, you know, suspect. And a lot of it was based on the fact that when Rav Hanan sent him to Rav Nachman, Rav Hanan wasn't clear why he was sending to Rav Nachman, which led to all the confusion and miscommunication. Rav Hanan had Ragel Eliyahu Dasigabe. Rav Hanan had Eliyahu frequent by him. Okay, this is not the first time in the Gemara we've heard that an Amora had regular visits by Eliyahu Anavi. However, to have a Masile Seder Deliyahu. And when they got together, what they do? I mean, there's no question what they did. They learned Torah and Seder Deliyahu. Kev David Hachi. But once Rav Hanan did this, sent this litigant over to Rav Nachman without clarifying why he sent him over to him, so he starts. So Eliyahu no longer came in and paid Rav Hanan visits, and Rav Hanan realized that Min HaShemayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset with him. So Yalta B'tani So by Rachamei. So he sat and he fasted and he asked her for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanos. Va'asa, and finally Eliyahu came. Ki asa havim ma'bisei be'ute. But this time, however, in round two of Eliyahu's visits to Rav Hanan, for reasons which I think I understand, right, Rav Hanan was terrified of Eliyahu, meaning he just Eliyahu was very intimidating. So Tevusa. So what Rav Hanan did for these later visits of Eliyahu is he made some sort of chest for himself, the Yosef Kameh, and he sat in the chest so Eliyahu would come and visit, but he couldn't face to face with Eliyahu. He was too scared by Eliyahu. Ad apikle sidre, until finally they finished all the learning. Vahina da amre, and now the Gemara says, and now you know the rest of the story. Seder Eliyahu Rabba, Seder Eliyahu Zuta. There's two svarim known as Eliyahu Rabba, Eliyahu Zuta, the big Eliyahu, the little Eliyahu. What does that mean? It means that Rav Hanan learned Seder Eliyahu, but in two phases. Phase one is before this episode, where he learned the majority of the Seder Eliyahu. And then in phase two, after the incident, where he was in a chest and he learned just a little bit more, that's what's referred to as Eliyahu Zuta. And the Marsha points out over here that everything that happened to Rav Hanan, Mida Keneged Mida, meaning measure for measure. Because this person over here, Rav Hanan refused a basket from the person, and so what the person wanted to give him bikurim, so where Rav Hanan ended up sitting and fasting. As a result of Rav Hanan's action, the other litigant was too terrified, he was too scared to argue in court because of Rav Hanan, so therefore Rav Hanan became intimidated, he became scared by Eliyahu Hanavi. So a lot of what happened to him was Mida Keneged Mida. Continuing in the Gemara, Bishnei de Rav Yosef Haverischa. So, in the years of Rav Yosef, there was Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry. Okay, to the best of our understanding of what that means, Kadosh Baruch Hu was unpleased. The Gemara Brachos tells us that every day, for a moment, Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Right? That's Bilam knew that moment. Okay. So Amalei Rabbanan LeRav Yosef Libay Marachme. So they turned to Rav Yosef and they said to Rav Yosef, okay, we need a special tefillah and we nominate you, Rav Yosef, to be our shliach tzibur. So Amalu Asher Ma'alisha Dechiyav Rabbanan Miftere Mikameh Hava Paisha Treyaf and Masan Rabbanan. Look. Rav Yosef says, I'm in no position to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go back to Elisha. Now, the Gemara brings up this story because we just quoted a pasuk about Elisha. Look, when it comes to Elisha, so when the rabbis would leave Elisha, so there were still some of the Talmid HaChamim who did not leave. And how many stayed behind? 2,200 Talmid HaChamim stayed behind. And they stayed behind because they were being supported by Elisha. In other words, Elisha had a huge yeshiva, obviously much larger than 2,200, but the vast majority of those that came to the yeshiva were able to go home. They had no home to go to. These 2,200 had no home to go home to, so, and Elisha took care of them. Fine. And meanwhile, be'idhan rizqa lo hava bayrachme. And meanwhile, when it was a time of anger and a time, and Elisha had a daven, and think of the zechuyos that Elisha had. And you would think that his field would be successful, and meanwhile, didn't work. Ani by rachame. So now, Rav Yosef says, and now, really, you want me to daven? Meaning, I'm nobody compared to Elisha. Elisha couldn't successfully daven during this ace resach, during this time of Akash Baruch Hu's anger. So I for sure will have no effectiveness in my tefillah as well. The Gemara says, now, where do we get these numbers from? So the Gemara goes back to Malachim Beis, and the Gemara is going to cite the Pesukim. And can I give this in front of 100 men? Now over here we're talking about 100 men. And we're talking about all that food in front of 100 men. So all that food, the food that we described on the previous Amud. So Bishnei Bitzaras Tuvahavo. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about years of famine, so that food for 100 men, that's not bad. So the Gemara says that you go back to the Pesukim. Right, the pasuk that we quoted, the ishba mi ba shel shav yaveh le ish alakim lechem bikurim esrim lechem saorim vekarmel betziklono. So it's 20 loaves of bread. So it's really 20 times 100. So and also karmel. So it's 22 times 100. So that's how you get to 2,200. That's how we know that Elisha took upon himself the responsibility of supporting 2,200. Okay. Okay, and then the Gemara says, as long as we describe how many people Elisha took care of, the Gemara now is going to be describing the Amoraim and how many people they took care of. When Rav excused all the young men from yeshiva, so I have a paisha alpha masan. So 1,200 were left over. 1,200 students were left over, meaning they didn't go home because they didn't have a go home to go to home to. They didn't have anywhere to go, and Rav took care of them. Rabbanan mei bei Rav Huna v'paisha tamne mei Rabbanan. The rabbis from Rav Huna. So when Rav Huna excused yeshiva, so he was responsible for 800. Rav Huna v'darsh b'tleis amarai. Rav Huna's shir was so big that he had 13 amarayim. Teacher's assistants. The Amoraim, meaning when the Gemara describes the Amoraim as Amoraim, it means basically the human microphone, right? The Rav would give a shir, but he was old and he was his voice wasn't that powerful, and so you had a room full of, or some, usually it was just one person who stood by him, heard what he said, and broadcasted it to the people. Rav Huna's shir was so big that he needed 13 of these Amoraim. Now, when the rabbis got up, in other words, when he excused everyone from yeshiva, so you had all these Talmid Chacham sitting on the floor, right? The Gemara Megillah gives a description of how learning was back then. The Rebbe would stand, the students would sit. There was a time where everyone used to stand when learning. But it used to be that the Rebbe would stand, the students would sit, sitting on the floor. And meanwhile now, so you can imagine, thousands of students sitting on the floor listening to Rav Huna say shir. And then Rav Huna says, okay, we're done. And everyone gets up. And so everyone was on the dirt floor. Everyone got up. Have a salik avka. So it was like a cloud of dust The Gemara over here gives a description. It could be slightly exaggerated, but just to make the point, that the cloud of dust was so it blocked the sun. The Amre, and some say, and some say that there was so much dust that was created by the people getting up that even in Eretz Yisrael they noticed the cloud of dust that occurred out in Bavel. Again, the Gemara over here could be just speaking in a slight exaggeration, but again, just to simply make the point that it was even the yeshiva getting up was a big deal. When the yeshiva of Rabban Rav Yosef would be excused, so 400 students were left behind. So, by the way, you just get to see like how the numbers keep dwindling, right? Elisha, I mean, again, Elisha's going way back. Elisha's going back to the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. But Elisha was responsible for 2,200, and then as we move on historically, right, every subsequent Beis Medrash, the numbers are a little bit less. The Karev Naisha Yasmi, and they refer to themselves as the orphans, meaning, right, they were the real stragglers. No one was ready to take care of them, so Rav Yosef and Rabba felt the responsibility to take care of them. Okay, so now we're moving along historically, and now we're up to Abaye. That's the next generation. Ramilei mei Rav Papa, Ramilei mei Rav Ashi. You know, two different other versions of who it was. Hava paishe masan rabbanan. So there, 200 students were left over. The Karav Nashai Yasmei Diasmei, and they refer to themselves as orphans of the orphans. Really, they were the last of the last. Amar Yisrael Bar Yedif, Amar Rav Ami Mevakri Mamishib Yerushalayim, Haydin Notlin Schar Mitzumas Alishka. The Gemara now is going to return back to a topic that we started back on Kuf Hey Amad Aleph, and that is how do public figures get paid? Meaning, where is the source of income? So remember, this entire discussion that we started with, which led the Gemara to over a day of discussing the topic of Shochad, all started with the question of how do the judges in Yerushalayim get paid? So they get paid from public money. Truma, every year, from Rosh Chodesh Adar until the first day of Nisan, a collection was made from every Jew. Every male Jew is obligated. Females, if they want to, they can bring. Kohanim up for a debate over there in the Mishnah Shkalim. But in other words, and this is, of course, the Machatis HaShekel. All that money is pooled together in Yerushalayim, and there is then there is the allocation of that money. There is the Truma Salishka. There's the Shayari Truma Salishka. There's the Shayari Halishka. Okay, a lot of different monies. And so we learned in the very beginning of this whole discussion that the judges got paid, the judges got paid from this, from the public money. And now, as long as we're on this topic, so the Gemara is going to be discussing other people and how they get paid. We're on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, we're more than halfway down. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yedif, Amar Rav Ami, Mevakrim Mumashib Rishalim. Those who examine blemishes. We know that an animal cannot be brought as a carbon if it has a physical blemish. Who diagnosed the physical blemishes? So you had experts. Remember, we had a Gemara in Becharos describing Rav having to do a special internship in order for him to become an expert in animals and physical blemishes of an animal. If I remember correctly, which is, that's a maybe, took him, I think, a year and a half on the farm with the animals in order to get this special certification. So how you know them? Scharim Chumas Alishkan. So how would they get paid? So they would get paid from the Chumas Alishka. Okay. The Chumas Alishka was the first portion that was taken off from that pool collected money, and that money was used for carbon. But this also is carbon, meaning the examination of animals to be brought as a carbon. That's carbon. Those Tamid Chachamim who teach the Kohanim at a shecht, so they too would accept money from Chumas Salishka. And again, teaching a Kohen at a shecht, that's carbon related. So therefore, this is filed under Chumas Salishka. Amrav Gid, Amrav Tamid Chachamim Hamalamdim Halachos Kemitza LeKohanim. Not Lam Scharim Chumas Salishka. Those teaching the Kohen do Kemitza. Kemitza, taking your hand, putting into the mincha offering in order to remove a fistful of the mincha offering to burn on the top of the mizbeach. So that was a skill. And so those who taught it were paid from the Chumas Salishka. Amrav Abarachan, Amrav Yochan Magias Svarim Shibur Shlame. You know Lam Scharim Chumas Salishka. The correctors of the Sefer Torah, so they also got paid from the Chumas Alishka. This one's a little challenging to understand. In other words, this is carbon related. So, little trickier to understand. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nashim Hargos Parochas No Los Chayim Mitzvah Masalishka. The women who weave the curtains in the Beis Hamikdash, so they got paid from the Chumas Alishka. Now I disagree. I don't think so. There was another fund that was collected for general temple upkeep. And the curtains for the Beis Hamikdash, I don't think that's carbon related. I think that's a capital related. That's building related. So I think the money should come from Bedek Abayis. Whole parochas tach is being in Asuyos. In other words, the curtains are for the building. So Meisvei the Gemara challenges based on the Brisa. Nashim harogos beparochas u beis garmo amas alechem apanim u beis avtina amas akataras. Three different workers: the women who wove the curtains for the Beis Hamikdash, the family of Garmu who made the lechem apanim, the Beis Avtinas when they prepared the kataras to be burnt daily. Cool on how you know Lin Tzcharim Mitchumas Alishka. They would all get paid from Chumas Alishka. So this brisa clearly works with the assumption that the weaving and the curtains going down, that is from Chumas Alishka, not Bedek Abayis. Hasam B'Devave. So the Gemara says, well, no. Maybe over there that's describing the curtains that were used for the doorways. And they were structural. And they were for the purposes of tznias. There were 13 curtains around Mikdash Sheni. Remember the Mishnah Shkalim? The Mishnah Shkalim described how the Yevanim, when they attacked the Beis Hamikdash, so they made 13 pratzos, 13 openings in the wall. They didn't like the idea of the closed Beis Hamikdash. They wanted it to be more open. It's a philosophical issue. So what did we do after we conquered the Yevanim? So we put curtains on those openings. So those are structural. Shiva keneged shiva shaarim, echal lepischa shehechal, and then we just count seven to the seven gates, one to the entrance of the hechal, ve'echal lepischa sheulam, one into the antechamber, beis bedvir, beis keneged ba'aliyah. And then two more separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh of Kodashim. Remember, we're talking about the second temple. In the second temple, there was no wall actually separating the Kodesh and Kodesh of Kodashim. It was two curtains. Those two curtains had a pathway in between them, had a space in between them. And remember, in Yuma, we described the Kohen Gadol basically snaking its way, going into, hopefully I remember correctly, going into the south end, moving its way north, and then heading into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So those are two more curtains. And if you remember, the second temple, it was 100 amma tall. It was two floors of 50 amma. So even though on the second floor, basically it paralleled the first floor. Two curtains in the first floor, two curtains on the second floor as well. The women who would raise their son for Parah Aduma, so they got their money from the Chumas Alishka. And Parah Aduma is not a carbon per se, but generally speaking, we treat it like a carbon. And therefore, anything that have to do with the Parah Aduma, so that was collected from the Chumas Alishka. What are we talking about? The women who are raising their children for Parah Aduma? You remember the second parak of Sukkah. The Gemara over there says that because of a fight between the Purushim and the Tzedukim, and you can take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi takes us through this as well. So what we did is that we were metame the Kohen who burnt the Parah Aduma. Again, I'm giving a really oversimplistic view of what happened. But in the meantime, however, here, let's get to the point. Children were used to draw the water. These children were raised on a tumah-free environment. Tumah-free environment, meaning there was an area earmarked specifically for the birth and the raising of these children. These children were basically sequestered for the first 8 years of their lives. And so basically any mother who was going to commit herself to this kind of existence would have to be living on not a literal island, but basically a halachic island for 8 years. How did they get supported? So they got supported from the Chumas Alishka. Continuing the Gemara, Abishalom, and Hashem Yikar Shibishlaim, Hayuzanus Osam and Farnasin Osan. And Abishal says, no, this was privately sponsored. Meaning that this event of the women raising the children on the rock, so that was privately sponsored. These women didn't want the public money to go to this purpose. Bami ne Rav Huna me Rav. Okay.
This had the effect of the Huna to be towered in the themselves, no?
Yeah. Yeah, and in other words, even though when they give birth, they're going to be tamei, but
tamei of the men.
That's exactly right. In other words, they were looking to avoid tumas meis. Okay, we'll stop right here at this point in time. This next topic over here is going to be not totally new topic, but really it's own self-contained topic that takes us really to the end of the end of the amud. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. We finished the Gemara today on Shochad. All the Gemaras that describe the harm that's created, the issur that's created by accepting Shochad, the harm that's created by accepting Shochad, not only Shochad Mammon, but Shochad Dvarim as well. The Gemara tells us a number of incidents, a number of episodes of a judge who just received the smallest consideration, not even monetary, the smallest consideration, and disqualified themselves from serving as a judge. We went through a story, a difficult story regarding Rav Hanan, Rav Nachman, and then the Gemara goes on to discuss how various public people get paid. Various public people get paid. The basic rule is if it's carbon related, so the payment comes from Chumas Alishka. If it's building related, that comes from Bedek Habayis. And then some debate in terms of how to file certain things in the Beis Hamikdash. And then tomorrow's discussion, we start with Kli Shareis, and it will be a discussion, a debate in terms of how to file Kli Shareis. Is that building related? Is that carbon related? So that's where we're going to start tomorrow.